You know, therefore, we are not, Keith is not here. But anyway, Archetype album premiere just heard the song called The Thoughts That Bind, and it's off of our upcoming record. And a lot of really good reception so far to some of the tracks that I previewed, and had some people out there that really were instrumental in really kind of helping us gauge like what the market would be like, and you know, kind of what we sound like, because the band, in my opinion, I think we're pretty unique as far as our sound goes. So and we're going to be playing some songs off of this album. So I do have Jamie and Chris in the studio, and if you want to say hi. Hola. Because
hello.
I'm Jamie.
That's wonderful. I'm Chris.
Jamie, so got Jamie and Chris here. So
yes.
All right, so basically this is a little bit weird because normally this hour I'm interviewing somebody, but I can't really interview guys that I play in a band with.
You can. Interview yourself.
So,
well,
anyhow.
We haven't seen you in a while, so it's like we're just meeting again.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's been a long time, yeah.
It's all good. So, well, anyway, what I did is I took questions from people because, actually, there's still people that remember the previous record.
I'd hope so.
They do. So,
my mom. my brother likes it.
A lot of people from Europe and stuff. So, anyway, you know, we're going to talk about the record. And, you know, the question everybody has asked and, you know, I guess I don't know who wants to answer first, but people are wondering where have you guys been for, you know, for such a long time. You know, what's been going on?
Just got out of prison.
Actually, I went back to college. I finished school.
He did. He went back to college.
Chris opened a business.
Yeah. Then we skipped from studio to studio.
Yeah.
Until I started my own and decided to remix the whole thing from scratch. So that took about
forever.
11 years
and a day.
Almost exactly 11, because Dawning came out in, was it February of...
2000, maybe?
Yeah. 2000. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's...
Well, the actual real version came out in 2002, right? Didn't it come out, like, 2002?
Yeah, I guess the final version. It was released in Europe in, like, 2002.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 2002. That's right.
Yeah.
And then the European version came out...
Like 2004, 2005, right?
Which Lim happened to butcher with their digital spike before the start of each song. That was pretty...
Yeah. Uncool. And then Keith and I were breeding. So,
yes, yeah. you guys had kids, yes, yes.
And
not with each other.
No, not with
Keith
each other.
And I were, that came off real well, dude.
But anyway, basically that was a lot of that's what's going on. Plus, you know, the other thing that I'll say is that when we originally recorded, we weren't happy with the first recordings, and then, you know, we scrapped them, and then
they were almost like demo recordings.
Yeah.
The first studio we were at, you know, and then just weren't happy with anything that was happening there, so we.
And then we got some good recordings and decided to remix it. And, you know, it works out really well because I think that now, Chris, you know, you built the studio and stuff. And, you know, if we want to go do another record, I mean, it's the only price really is time, you know, and we don't have to rely on anybody. And you actually mixed the record at Summit Music Studios. So summitmusicstudios.com. Actually, Chris, you have a music school as well. So
correct. That's my business. That's my venture. Almost 4 years ago I started that. So
yeah, that's a while ago. Wow.
Yeah,
Northfield Center, man. So check it out. Go to the site.
It's the place to be, Northfield Center.
Go to the site. You got any kids want to learn some stuff? You got other instructors and stuff there too.
Correct,
which is cool.
Piano, drums, vocals,
banjo.
Yes,
banjo.
My newest endeavor, the banjo. Yes.
So basically, that's what's going on. So we do have the record coming out, and we're gonna put it over iTunes and all that other fun stuff, and. I've had some questions about what we're going to look like on the internet. I do have a site ready to go once we get everything finalized, and I also have the Facebook page, which I'll update and get everybody out there and all that stuff. So, so that's pretty much it. So, you know, the next thing is now people are asking. You know, I've had several people ask this. What is going on as far as what do we have planned now? I mean, how are we going to promote this thing and you know, are we going to play any shows here and there, at least maybe locally? Or
I'd like to. I'm
yeah, I mean, we've been out of the game for a while here, but I'd like to get back in, you know.
Yeah.
Get things rolling again. We got the recording space, you know, do some gigs.
Yeah.
See what happens. I'd like to do some festivals.
Well, we did have our buddy John, obviously. You know, he just emailed me and said that kids are for people who can't have cats.
Was that Sobere?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, John?
So, but anyhow,
stop ruining the interview.
but anyway, that's what's been going on, and it's interesting. It's interesting because you know, I mean, at least from my perspective, there's a lot of European people that just don't forget bands at all, and where people over here have forgotten, unless you get European people that like you know, I put up just a preview, just not even just on my Facebook site. And I had, you know, I got guys from magazines, actually some pretty big magazines, actually emailing me, you know, wanting to review the record, wanting to do interviews and stuff like that, which I think is cool. They remember an album that came out 11 years ago.
I do think it's cool as well.
Yeah, that's a different world over there, in, you know, in Europe compared to the U.S.,
so,
especially metal-wise. So.
Awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to play another track, what we'll do is we'll play one more song off of the album, and we'll come back and answer some more questions and stuff, and yeah. We'll kind of go from there. So with that... All right, and we're back here on the Metal Command Show. Interview hour of the Metal Command Show. This interview, of course, is with Archetype, and, of course, it's a band and I also singing. And so we're previewing the album here. Now, one of the questions people have asked quite a bit was, you know, people wondering, you know, will we reissue Dawning at some point? Because it's out of print, and I've had people bring up the fact that the original reissue had a lot of issues with it and a lot of problems, but... you know, they're wondering if we'd put it up for, you know, put that up as well, and maybe bringing that album back out and maybe getting that for people that maybe don't have it.
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea. Jamie threw that idea out a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
I like maybe I should remix it at the studio and then re-release it. I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it would be cool. I mean, a lot of people have asked about that. And now with digital age, I mean, if you put it up digitally, you can. Put whatever bonus tracks you want on it. You can put that whole Hands of Time EP, for example, instead of, you know, just the one or two songs that the original reissue had. So that's definitely something pretty cool to do. And the next question is coming up. So, you know, the songwriting took a little bit of a direction change. You know, it was a little more clean guitar in the first album, a lot more all over the place on the first album. But then this newer one, people have basically been asking, you know, you kind of went to a more... It was a lot much heavier direction on the album, and what inspired Chris? I mean, really, and you guys to really go that direction.
Well, I got a 7-string guitar. That kind of set it off right there. When I went to 7-string, things just immediately got heavier. You know, it was just cooler.
But not like, in a musical sense, though. Not really. A lot of people take a 7-string and they just play rhythms.
Yeah, I mean, and I know Dawning had a lot of stuff going on. It was up and down and all over the place at some points, but just kind of, you know, refining the sound of the band with the new songs. And I'm sure if we do the next CD, it's going to be even heavier, you know, probably faster, heavier. I want to do some faster stuff.
Yeah,
I'd be definitely interested in you know ramping the speed up quite a bit. We'll get Keith going. On the double bass.
Awesome. Well, that's pretty cool because, you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting is that because I heard the first album and, you know, I was not expecting the, you know, the heaviness of the song. I remember when I joined a band, I remember the first song you sent me was the song we call Signaling the End now, but Seven Groove, as we call it, because we had code names for everybody. but it was funny because that was the first song that you sent me. Uh-huh. And it was completely different than what I was expecting. I was expecting something along the lines of like Dawning or Visionary or something like that. Yeah. And I hear this song and I'm like, oh, you know, it completely threw me off. And
it's a pretty straightforward song, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, things got a little less progressive. I mean, there's still a lot of meter changes going on in this album, but
they seem to flow better.
Yeah,
maybe that's not a harsh transition.
It's a little more cohesive than Dawning, for sure. You know, it definitely flows pretty well. So pretty happy with it.
Yeah, it does flow pretty well. Now, the next question is, you know, before you come into the studio tonight, what was the last album you listened to on the way here? Like the last, it doesn't matter what kind of band it is. What did you listen to? The last album you listened to before you came here.
A full album or just artist?
Just an artist.
You got Jamie.
I've been listening to a ton of Van Halen, as usual.
Yeah.
I go between Van Halen and Rush, pretty much.
I was listening to some new age stuff, like Enya-ish stuff.
Yeah.
Recently, just... on a whim.
I was listening to Burn by Deep Purple.
Yeah, I like that too. Glenn Hughes.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Whitesnake.
Nice.
As funny as that is. But the old, really old blues stuff from like 1980, 81, before they were like really even known over here. But yeah, that's what I listened to on the way here. I listened to Deep Purple, Burn, and like all week. It's been Ritchie Blackmore's like kind of an insane guitar player. And, you know, obviously. With me, you know, just this week, I've been listening to Rainbow, like Long Live Rock and Roll and Rising and a lot of those albums. You know, some of that stuff is just really, I don't know, it's just, I've been listening to a lot of Blackmore stuff. Blackmore's Night, more like the Renaissance. sounding stuff, which is really cool. And he plays more of a mandolin as opposed to the guitar, and been listening to all that stuff lately. I don't know. So, that's a question. Whoever I have, and some of these are several people asking the same thing. So it's kind of like, you know,
the usuals. You know,
you get the usual stuff.
King Diamond, Corner.
Yeah,
my favorite bands.
Def. I've been listening to a ton of Def for some reason.
Because it's awesome.
It is awesome.
So, you know, so a lot of people are asking how do we think the record is going to do with people?
I mean, that's a good question because honestly, I have no idea. Yeah. It's been so long. I mean, it you know, it'll trickle out there, and you know, people. I'm hoping a lot of word of mouth. You know, over in Europe and stuff like that. You know, check this album out.
I mean, basically, people wondering if we have any expectations. I could tell you that two people have been really helpful to me. Actually, three people have actually been really helpful to me. Because I really, you know, want to go on a promotional binge. You know, back, you know, it's like back in the day. You know, when I was younger, I used to promote, you know, Halloween quite a bit. And you know, it's different promoting something that I've been a part of or I've been on. So, you know, there's been a few people. Actually, I want to thank three people that have really helped me out because it's funny. I send this stuff out and I said, I need your unbiased opinion. And, you know, I needed to find people that I knew would not lie to me and say, you know, they would tell me the truth, what they think. One of them was a guy, a really good friend of mine, a guitar player that I've come to know over the last year, a guy named Stu Marshall. Who he's a guitar player, plays in some really great bands. He's from Australia, and he's playing with a band with called he plays in a project called Empires of Eden. Has a lot of great metal vocalists on it, and he also is doing a band called Death Dealer, which has like two former members of Manowar in it, and the singer from Chris is like it's actually really stuff is awesome, and a singer from Cage. It's really really good stuff. But you know, I sent him a couple tracks. I said, dude, I need your honest opinion, dude, because I know you're a composer. I know you're a straight up guy, and he really loved the stuff. And the same thing with Andy Darris from Halloween. You know, he, you know, I would ask him quite a bit because he's a guy I know wouldn't lie to me. And I remember sending him the very first version of a song I sang with you guys, and he completely was like blown away. He wrote me back. He's like, I can't, dude. He goes, this is unbelievable. So, you know, but the cool thing about it, the biggest compliment that we received, in my opinion, was every one of these guys, the one common denominator was that, you know, they said that our songs were progressive, but we didn't lose the song, which was really kind of cool. And, you know, I don't know if that was your goal of writing this stuff.
It was definitely on my mind when I wrote the music, without a doubt, you know.
It's nice to hear feedback.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we get stuck in this little
world. I'd like to thank those three guys myself, too.
Yeah, we get stuck in our own little world of bouncing ideas off of each other and what we think about it.
Yeah.
We don't rarely hear whatever anybody else thinks about it.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, some people, it's really interesting, some of the comparisons, because I've, you know, because one of the other questions that was asked of, you know, that was sent to me was, you know, what do you think your album sounds like? What do you think you sound like? And people were throwing out, I mean, I got everything from, you know, some guy wrote me and said it sounds like, you know, Iron Maiden on steroids. I had another guy that said that we sound like we have a lot of really progressive changes, kind of similar to like Nevermore. Not the musical style, but just the changes are kind of similar to like stuff that Jeff Loomis would do. And and I thought those were really cool compliments from people because these are people that are in bands that, you know, have records released worldwide. And the other guy I'd like to thank, too, that took some time to listen to was Mark Brody from the band Jag Panzer. I sent him a couple tracks, and he really, I mean, he said they were pretty cool, and he kind of liked the kind of staccato lines that, you know, Chris, you know, follows on a lot of the rhythms and stuff. But, you know, that's the biggest aspect of it. So, we're going to play, and speaking of that, you know, not losing the song, we're going to play a long song. It's actually the title track. And I played this over the air one time, a long time, you know, probably a while ago, but, we're going to play it over the air, here, and it's actually some pretty cool stuff. So it's a title track off of the album. It's entitled, we're titling it Without Fear. And we're back here on the Metal Command Show, the interview hour of the Metal Command Show. Time now is 11:41. And of course, we're here with, Archetype. We're going to talk a lot about, the record. And so, you know, I had a lot of interesting questions that have been sent in that wanted to be asked. And some people want to hear, you know, what are some funny stories that had gone on in the meantime of recording this record and rehearsing it and,
well, they all involve Keith. So,
with the broken wrists, playing a cast.
Yeah, Keith drumming with one arm better than I've seen a lot of guys play with two. Yeah, looking like mini me.
The best thing ever, dude. I never forget when I first met you guys. I remember three distinct things. First of all, I remember because we had that site that rehearsal studio at Rock and Roll City. Yeah, I remember first coming in there, and I remember I'm looking at this kit. Remember he had that insane drum kit. Probably cost about $10,000. And mm-hmm. I walk in. And because Jamie wasn't there, Jamie was at a wedding. Oh, remember right. that the first time I met
Jamie
you guys.
Jamie missed like the first three practices you came to, I think.
Yeah, missed it in
Putin Bay. Went to Putin Bay and stuff.
Putin Bay wedding, you know, whatever.
He had no desire to be.
But the funny thing was, I'll never forget. I walked in, and I'm looking, and I see you know Chris has got his nice rig, he's got his nice 7-string Ibanez, and I look. And behind Keith's kit, there is like the biggest pile of beer cans I've ever seen in my life.
I'm sure I contributed. Don't blame it on Keith.
Yeah, there's. He's not the soul.
My lipstick was on some of those cans.
But I'll never forget when he broke his arm, and we had to. We used to always joke around. He had a little mini me, kind of looked like him. You know, he had the bald head. I don't even know where that thing came from, but I remember. I remember we gave it to him. So he had a cast on his arm, and we were practicing. Remember, he was practicing one-armed, yes. playing with one arm. And I remember I decided to be, you know, try to be, obviously, you know, pull a prank on him, and I wrapped the one arm of Mini-Me up with, like, that, like a bandage.
Yeah. Like, and they looked identical.
And then I ended up taking a picture. I still have the picture. It's, like, the best picture of all time. Yeah, he's got this grin on his face.
Never,
like,
never lose that picture, whatever you do.
He has the best grin on his face ever because it was hilarious because he ended up
He's sitting his soulmate.
He's sitting there. Yeah. He has this grin on his face like, I want to kill you for doing this. But at the same time, he's laughing.
Yeah, because he knew it was awesome.
Oh, man, that was funny. Some funny stuff. But, you know, it was interesting because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people have asked, you know, obviously, you know, because Wag sang on the first album. But, you know, a lot of people asked, you know, how I ended up in a band. And I don't know. It was weird. I answered an ad. Didn't you have an ad up?
Yeah, I think I was it. Was it on online or in a?
Yeah, I remember.
What's weird? It wasn't for singers, for a nude model.
That's right. Yeah. And then the phone started ringing after that.
That's when Craigslist started up. Yeah. Started posting on Craigslist. Well, I think I answered.
Yeah,
originally.
Wait, you answered way before you actually joined. I think.
Yeah, I answered it in my computer. I had a Mac that completely overheated. And I didn't have a computer for like 6 months, and then you guys found somebody, and then I remember I. The add up was up again. I'm like, I answered again, and you guys had played Power Fest because you had a different singer, and then
I forgot all that. We had a bunch of guys audition, yeah. and
I remember when I sent you. No, this is stuff. The funny. This is the funniest thing. This is how it went because now I remember. I ended up. You sent me. I sent you tracks of stuff I sang on. Mm-hmm. And so you email. So when I talked to you the first time, you're like, all right. He like. First thing I got to ask, is this really you? And I'm like, yeah. Why? You're just like, I'm just making sure. Because I don't know if people sent you demos or, you know, whatnot with, like, stuff that really wasn't demo. They didn't sound like them. So then I remember you sent me the one track, and I remember I just did, like, a rough rendition. Honestly, I just came up with everything on the fly in, like, 10 minutes, I recorded it. And I got this voicemail because I was at work, and you're like, oh, dude, we're looking forward to having you in the band. And I'm like, I don't even freaking know these guys. So it's like, yeah, we practice Fridays, man.
I might still have that somewhere.
Yeah, I have it. I have it in my old computer somewhere, I think.
Dude, it's so long ago.
It's so awful sounding, too, by the way, compared to like what we have now. But anyway, I remember that's how it happened. It was just really weird. Like, I've never auditioned for – usually I go down and sing tracks, and I don't know, I just kind of – roughed it, and I showed up at practice, and we just kind of started. And it was cool because the way we did these songs was that we didn't do it like through a computer sending files. We actually just did it. We rehearsed everything, which was a lot of bands just don't do that. I think it was actually really cool. We sectioned everything out. We did sectional parts of the songs where we sectioned everything out and then actually came up with the words and the lyrics and came up with parts and got rid of parts and stuff like that.
So they came through real rehearsal, not piecing stuff together.
Yeah. It was actual real rehearsal, which is actually the old school best way to do it. You know, a lot of bands don't do that.
And then we spent 100 years
recording it
to get to this point right now. Yeah,
because ultimately you do it for yourself. If you're not happy with it, then
exactly.
So well, if you wouldn't want to listen to, then why bother? So you have to make it right. I mean,
yeah. So that's pretty cool. It actually came up in. But anyway, I mean, that was one of the aspects. People want to know some stories and stuff. I remember I got an email, you know, what Dawning songs would you play live? Because that stuff's kind of off the wall.
I like Years Ago a lot.
You know, the problem with that was just having me the one guitar.
Yeah.
Because there was, I put way too many guitar parts on that album. You just can't pull it off live without
Premonitions another is guitar player. Fun live.
That's a sweet, yeah. Premonitions, we always.
Yeah, I actually didn't
live.
Sing that. You know, the one song
Visionary.
I would.
You did Hands of Time, I think.
Yeah, you
I did
sang Hands, a couple. You sang
Hands of Time. I think. What did I do? The best song.
Hands always play live.
In my opinion, the my favorite song actually that I did live was Final Day, because that
I remember
that's
that.
Good
yeah.
tune.
That actually fit really well because I remember we played, you know, the first track off this record, and then we went right into Final Day. It was kind of like a transition off of that, and then. You know, the song I've always wanted to do was Visionary, actually. That's, like, my favorite track off that record. And, you know, a lot of times people don't realize, too, bands, when they come up with set lists, a lot of times they come up with, you know, the different tunings of the guitars. It's not like we put it in a specific order. I mean, you do, but then, you know, you have certain guitar tunings, and you want to be able to, like, just grab a guitar, go and play in D or whatever we're doing.
As little changes as possible.
Yeah,
so
we would always do it with as little changing as possible.
Yeah, so.
The D guitar is the C sharp. And the now we got the 7-string in there, so we have another tuning.
But personally, that was
time
one of the.
Roadie.
But that was one of the cool things is that, you know, I remember we did the song Dawning, and I didn't think it went off too well.
I don't remember that.
It was like the first gig we ever played. With you guys. I remember we played it, and I remember, like, you looked over at Keith, like, what are you doing? Because no one could hear each other. I remember
pretty standard when you go never hear
so I remember that, and then we did Hands of Time. I think we've done we did Final Day, we did Dawning once, and I think at least the ones that I've done, those are the only three that I've done actually.
Yeah, but we've done them all live except for the instrumental. Do we ever do that live?
I don't know,
we may have opened up with that one time. Yeah, I think we've done them all live at one point.
Yeah,
but
years ago, you really played that long song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
12 minutes? Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it was cool. That's one of my favorites. I like the long
Sans
stuff.
The classical intro.
Yeah. Yeah, we just came in with the vocals, on that, because that wasn't going to happen. Get John Williams out there to...
And maybe everybody will get to hear a better version of that soon enough.
Yeah, I'm thinking a remix could be in the future.
Yeah.
For Dawn, I think that would be pretty cool. It's going to be a lot of work, but I got all the files. I got the drives and everything else.
First things first. Yeah. We got something new. Let's go.
Put this bad boy out.
Well, you know, now someone basically asked, you know, now that this album is going to be coming out, do you guys have any songs written for the next one? That's what somebody just emailed me, actually.
I have a million parts of songs. And that's how I would write anything. I would write, you know, anything that popped in my head, I'd write it. I'd tab it out in the notebook. Then I'd go back to it. You know, weeks, months later, and I'd piece these parts together that fit. And I have a million parts, and it won't be hard.
You know,
some new tunes.
You know, a lot of people don't realize too that some of these songs. I mean, we cut like entire pieces out that could make songs. Like I'll give you an example. Like Never Hear Again or Hear Again, whatever you want to call it. Remember that whole middle section we had? It was like it had to be like it added like another like 5 minutes of the song. The song was like 8-9 minutes long at that time. And
yeah, and that's kind of cool that we did that because it condensed them and made them more cohesive, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, and it's interesting now because now we're putting this out. The music industry is so much different because it's, you know, a lot of labels, a lot of these bands are out of their record labels and stuff. They're just kind of like, you know, we're not they're just doing it themselves and putting it out themselves and. They're just kind of just distributing it, and it's interesting now because I think that for us, it's a lot easier to market this because, you know, you can market yourself any way you want, and, you know, the only way to really do that is to kind of gauge what kind of audience you'd have or who would be into it, and it's interesting because this album, in my opinion, you know, compared to what I listen to, it's a lot more direct than the first one, and I think that the listenership of it a little bit, it's just different, you know, it's Dawning had a lot of clean guitars, a lot of really crazy time changes, which are really cool, but... You know, at the time, I remember people, you know, didn't know what to make of it. I remember when it came out, people, they were like, you know, I don't know what to make of this album. They just didn't know. It was just something that they couldn't comprehend at the time. And it was like, wow, it's all over the place. You know, that's kind of,
you know,
the common thing.
Chris grew up as a songwriter, too. And, you know, times change. And you kind of realize you got to be more focused sometimes. You got to, maybe you got to play a riff a little longer to drill it in somebody's head. I don't know.
Yeah.
Next one's going to be just.
4-minute songs.
4-minute songs, all 4/4.
Double bass, blast beats on the snare.
First chorus, verse,
growling, screaming.
Can Keith do blast beats?
I've always tried to get him to do it, but we'll see what happens. He hasn't played drums in a while, so
Keith's gonna actually do the next record on a 4-piece set. That's
yes,
Yeah.
That's right.
Not the 25-piece set. Do you remember the funniest thing ever, dude? You go to play a gig. What's up with all the cymbals?
Oh, remember God. Used, remember, yeah, like, that was the...
And when, remember when,
Beachland, yeah.
I remember when Kern was, like, trying to wire the kit. He's just sitting there. He's just making fun of him. Dude, why do you need a kit this big?
It was...
I mean, it took him, like...
It was awesome, though. He had like, 9 toms and...
Yeah, but he
4 or 5-sided rack. And he, yeah. And 3 hi-hats, and he... Played every piece of that drum set, man.
I know.
It was awesome.
Including the rooms.
Now he's a standard, you know, double bass, you know, 5 toms.
Yeah.
Only 2 hi-hats now.
Only two.
So he's growing up as a drummer, too, now, you know. So he's not so over the top anymore.
Yeah, but you know what? That kit he had actually sounded really good. I mean, that's the one thing that I like about his drum kit is that he's got a really nice sounding kit. I mean, it's not a Tamastar Classics aren't... garbage, you know.
Correct.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So,
sweet.
But anyhow, you know, we're kind of coming towards the end of the hour. We're going to play another song here pretty soon. I mean, we could probably go into part of the next hour, and if you guys want, and we could talk a little bit. But, you know, the one cool thing, I do want to thank a couple people, obviously, because these guys really, really helped me out because I was very green. It's hard when you're so involved with a record or so involved with something that you can't, it's hard to see outside of it, the box, a little bit. So I really had a lot of input from several people, but again, the people that were really helpful. I mean, I got to say, you know, Andy Darris is very helpful. I do thank him, and I'm sure he'll at some point listen to this interview or go to my site. And, you know, Stu Marshall from Empires of Eden, you know, empiresofeden.com. I mean, a guy, phenomenal, one of the best guitar players I've heard, like, in a long time. And he's got a guitar collection bigger than this room. And, you know, then there's obviously Mark from Jag Panzer, which they're putting out some reissues. So I really thank you, especially because you guys really gave me a lot of really good input on, you know, your input basically dictated how I'd write the press release, you know, kind of what we sounded like and, you know, things like that, you know, because it was very green. It was easy with Helloween because I would just, you know, they're established, you know, you can say, okay, yeah, this album sounds like this and that and the other thing, but, you know, to define something that you're involved in, it's hard, you know, so, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. So...
Right.
Well, anyhow,
let's play it, man.
One
of my favorites.
This is actually almost everybody's favorite track off of this, and definitely call it the Dark Mirror.
Yeah,
I look better in those anyway.
What's that?
I look better in dark mirrors.
Well, anyway, here you go, and we're going to go into the next hour. So here you go, and check it out. And we're back here on the Metal Command. Time now is 12:10, and one last little interview segment we have going on here. And you know, people, you know, let's talk about when this record's coming out, when we're actually going to be putting this thing out, and kind of go from there, you know.
Well, we decided, a couple weeks from now?
About 2 weeks.
Group decision, 3 weeks? Another 10 years?
Oh, it's, early March.
Yeah, I'll get it earlier than that.
Two, 3 weeks. The plan is that actually, you know, next week I'll probably have the site done, and we'll probably reveal a track listing and you know, cover and all that stuff. And then what we'll do is, that's weird. My phone just decided to start Angry Birds Star Wars. I don't know, but anyway, plan of getting it up. I'm going to redo the Facebook page and get all that stuff situated. And once that happens, you'll see. You know, I got some album art that. I actually thought I got people's input. Everyone liked it. It was a simple album cover and worked out pretty well. So
we're thinking about just going all black, right?
All black. Black cover. Name of the band.
A little snake that you could barely see in a corner. We're not sure.
Oh, man. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, there's the possibilities. I mean, you know, we don't really have anything set in stone. I think that, you know, probably.
We're going to do CD Baby and iTunes.
iTunes and. Yeah, and usually CD Baby, you go through every outlet. They'll send it to Amazon MP3. And,
yeah, so.
Because that's where most people buy music from right now. So, you know, I've had people ask if there's going to be a CD version of the album. Because obviously you got the audio files. I think that my answer would be, you know, it depends on how well it does. And if it does pretty well, maybe we'll do that. But
I'd like to. I mean, at some point, 1,000.
You know. But what's cool is that I have a whole layout. I actually have a booklet and a layout done. So. If we ever do decide to put it on disc, I mean, we have everything there. Yeah. Same with Dawning. I can do the same thing.
I'd like to do a run of at least 500.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just to have, I still like CDs.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't converted to the digital world
really
yet.
Somebody really likes them. You know,
I like CDs, and I still play CDs.
A lot of people
CDs.
Like CDs still.
Yeah. I mean, so do I.
I never bought an MP3 in my life. You know,
a lot of people like A-Tracks, but we're not going to make any of those.
released it exclusively on 8-track.
I want to take, obviously, I really honestly want to take the time, too, to, again, awesome. say hello to Keith. Hopefully he's...
Hopefully he's listening right now. He's probably sleeping.
He's probably raging.
No. He's sleeping.
Yeah, he probably is sleeping. Kids will do that to you, man. Believe me.
Yeah, he probably bailed at midnight.
That's cool.
He got bored with the interview.
Yeah.
He got bored with
that. I heard these songs enough. He's like, I'm out.
You know what? I will say this. Whenever we like work on a record, I don't want to listen to these songs ever again.
Yeah, I'm never going to listen to them ever again. As soon as this is ever again in my life, literally.
Like, literally, I'm just like, you know,
I mean, Chris is listening to more versions than me, but yeah, you would hand me, like,
I'm beyond insane.
A 30-second snippet at the same piece of 10 different sound qualities or whatever mixes, and I'd go insane listening to it, let alone, I don't know what he goes through.
Well, no, it's funny. I spent, you know, when we remixed everything, it's really funny because I spent probably a week just listening to the record. I actually got to the point where because I hadn't heard it in, like, forever, and then I put it in, and I'm like, you know, I'm really liking this. Again, but it sounds it sounds really cool because when we did the remix, and it's cool because we can just record the stuff ourselves now. We don't need anybody to help us. And, you know, everyone knows what we want to sound like. So
that could be a double-edged sword, though, because you can tend to take your time.
That's the problem.
Yeah. There's no urgency.
Yeah, and the options are limitless with what you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to have somebody to tell you, all right, get it done by this date. You know,
Yeah,
let you know what we think of your tracks, but
I'm sure we don't want to take as long as this time.
No. We'll only go like 9 years till the next time.
Nine?
No, I wouldn't mind putting out a few songs as we record them. Not do 10, maybe just do like one or two songs and
put them out.
Some new stuff. Yeah, I think that would be cool.
Yeah, kind of a preview thing, and then come up with the rest of the record.
Yeah, instead of
Or really, what's the need of the full album? I don't know anymore.
Yeah, it's make a couple songs, put them out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty
Some bands, common. I've seen some bands actually, there's one band that's actually doing a full length, but they're putting the songs out three at a time, and then eventually when they're done, you know, then they're just going to put it out as a full length, and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So I've seen that. Or they start promoting it three songs at a time, then once it's done, they put the whole thing out. And I've seen bands do that. I've had bands that I've had on the show that do that. And a perfect example is the band Ion Vane. They're not the most well known, but they got a new singer and kind of a heavier direction. And you know, they were doing the same thing. I mean, they're doing three songs at a time until they're done with the record. So I think there's like 12 songs on it, and just putting out three in threes.
Yeah,
you know, kind of cool.
That's
and
good
then,
idea.
You know, stuff like that. But I think, you know, a lot of people with us, it's different because, you know, I think that in my opinion, it's always cool because you can. You can do the three songs at a time at that time, but a lot of people really like, I don't know, with the way we put stuff out and the type of music we play, I think it's kind of like, you know, they want the continuity eventually. So, but it's always cool to put something up for people to check out and get a grip on, you know, people think of what's going on. And like you said, I'd love to do some faster stuff, you know, down the road as well.
Yeah. If I start writing, it's going to be a lot faster.
Some pretty cool stuff.
I can guarantee that. Yeah.
So I think I'm definitely looking forward to that. So it's going to be pretty sweet. But anyway, we're just going to kind of end it off here because I don't really know what else. I mean, basically, most of the questions asked were asked by multiple people. So pretty much answered a lot of that. But I want to thank anybody that's been that still kept the faith in the band and really kept the faith and still remembering us, because I was really surprised that especially a lot of Europeans don't surprise me anymore, because bands that there's bands that have released records that, like, demos from, like, 50 years ago, and they still remember it, you know. But it's really cool to have people, like, when people email me, man, I can't wait to check this out. And, you know, when I remember putting Signaling in the End out, which really wasn't it was pretty close, but wasn't quite the final version, people really dug it. I mean, there were people on message boards spreading it to other boards and spreading it out to people and really
let's hope it
linking
it's tenfold
so,
when actually the final versions are out, the final album's done.
So, I mean, there was the word of mouth actually spread. It just, you know, like I said, it to me, when I do the show, and many people that know me, you know, I do this to help a lot of these bands out that I have on there. And a really cool thing is that in turn, many of them that that remember me and stuff, you know that I've done stuff with the band. They go back and say, wow, you know, they go back and actually have, and in turn, try to help us out, which is really cool. And, you know, I didn't ask anybody to do it. They just did it. You know, it's kind of like, oh man, I checked this out, man. I can't wait to hear what this sounds like. And there's a lot of people that I think we're going to be a little bit surprised that how many people really probably buy the record and really remember us. So I think once the word gets out a little bit and people start, you know, gravitating. It may take a little bit, but people are going to eventually check it out. And, you know, the good thing is about when it's coming out, it's like the beginning of the year for the music industry. Most of the releases don't come out till the summer. So we have an easy time to get some decent recognition out of it. So I think it'll, but I do thank everybody. We do thank everybody for still remembering us.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it's a good thing.
So that's pretty much it. So we're going to play one last song.
Are we?
And I'll play one more song here.
Sweet.
We'll play
Archetype, right?
Yeah. Mm. We should name the album. We should name the album. So somebody, as jokingly, I'll tell you a funny joke. I interviewed the singer from Fear Factory a year ago, probably last year.
Oh, yeah.
And he knew who we were because obviously when they were looking to name their album Archetype, they wanted to make sure they weren't infringing on trademarks. Yeah, so he knew who the band was. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, what if we named the album Fear Factory? What would you do? And he
that started was my laughing. Idea.
But
hey, if anything, it would get us press.
Yeah.
But it was funny. He basically said that he started laughing, but it was really funny that kind of kidding around. And
yeah. You play number 10. I like it. I like it.
We want to play 8 or 10.
10 is that? Well, this song is actually it's not really titled. Actually,
which one it would?
Nah, we'll just do Never Here Again. That's a safe bet because we have it settled in a song title for the last two all tracks, right. The instrumental.
We gotta keep them guessing, right? Even ourselves.
That's right, yeah. Untitled.
So, anyway, this Until is a song notice. Called Never Here Again, and
cool.
We're gonna end it off, and I thank everybody for checking it out. And of course, next week's interview, next couple weeks, obviously, we have Michael Whiteketh from Helloween next week. Week after, Zach Stevens from Circle to Circle, obviously, sang at Sabotage, and then. We have Timo Kotzepelto from Stratovarius, and then obviously Eric Peterson from Testament and Chuck Billy, one of those two. We'll probably have them on in about a month or so, and got some really great interviews lined up for the show. So check it out. This is Never Here Again off of our new record, Without Fear.